If making more money means breaking the laws, destroying the environment, or seeing other people suffer, to them, it's okay. Don't believe me? Think I'm being a little over the top here? Well, let me point out a few examples, folks. Did you know that there are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of millionaires, multimillionaires, and billionaires in prisons all around the world? Why are they in prison? I mean, they have tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars. Why would they break the law? They have all the money they need. Because even with their millions, they had such greed that they needed to make more money, and they were willing to break the law to make more money. You may think these people are the exceptions. Well, consider this. For every drug dealer that was caught, prosecuted, and imprisoned, there were probably 1,000 drug dealers on the streets that were not caught or not prosecuted and not imprisoned. I can tell you firsthand that for every millionaire or corporate officer or director that's in prison for breaking the laws because of greed, there are probably hundreds, if not thousands, of officers, directors, and wealthy stockholders who are defrauding the public right now because they're motivated by personal greed, and they haven't been caught for their transgressions. Do you know that the number one motive for murder? I told you, money. Money. Money and greed are such strong motivators that it's the number one reason a person will kill another human being. It's most definitely true. Greed, defined as the love of money, is indeed the root of all evil. We see it on TV with Enron. You got WorldCom, Adelphi, all the corporate scandals, Martha Stewart. Individuals who have tens of millions of dollars in their bank account. All the money they could ever need in their life, but they're so greedy, they want more. They still lie and defraud and cheat and effectively steal money from shareholders and employees for their own personal gain. Their ethics have been thrown out the window. They've sold their soul to the devil because it's all about the money. Let's watch reality TV. Do you know the producers of most reality TV shows are hoping that the real people on these shows have their lives ruined and destroyed on national television? The producers make money if they get great ratings. If a person is physically hurt on their reality show or has an emotionally traumatizing event, if they cry, if their life is destroyed, the ratings will soar and the producers make more money. The more bad that happens to the individuals, the more money the producers make. It's like feeding people to the lions. Let's watch these people get eaten alive by lions for entertainment. Why are people so happy when another person's life has been destroyed on national TV? Because when you are so interested in money, even voyeuristically, you can't stop caring about other people's lives. Folks, I've been in the corporate boardrooms. I've listened to these people talk. I've heard it firsthand. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm saying is true. Most importantly, I personally have been one of these guys. Greed motivated me to break the rules. I spent 2 years in federal prison. And believe me, I know firsthand what I'm talking about. Why haven't you heard this before? Well, for decades, what went on in the mafia was a secret. No one even admitted that La Cosa Nostra, the mafia, the syndicate, the mob, even existed. Finally, after decades, one person, Joe Valachi, came forward and blew the whistle on the inner workings of organized crime. Since that time, dozens of former mafioso have come forward to share the secrets that went on behind closed doors. In a very similar fashion, I believe the inner workings of the tobacco industry have been shrouded in secrecy. Finally, a man with a conscience came forward at the risk of his own life and blew the whistle on the greed, lies, and deceit that was directly responsible for the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people. Think about it. Where are weapons of mass destruction? They are in every package of cigarettes. How sad. You know, today I'm one of the first people to come forward from the inside and tell you the truth about the people who run Big Pharma. You may be under the illusion that drug companies have officers and directors whose sole passion in life is to prevent and cure disease for the benefit of mankind. But I'm pulling back the curtain and exposing the great Oz for the fraud that he really is. You may hear the cry, "Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain." But don't be deceived. The officers and directors of the big corporations that make up the healthcare industry are not benevolent, wonderful people with compassion and a desire to rid the world of illness. When the curtain's pulled back and the true identities are revealed, we see outrageously wealthy people whose greed, insatiable desire to make more money, and contempt for humanity is startling and mind-blowing beyond belief. If you've had the chance, like I have, to shake these people's hands and look into their eyes, you would no longer feel safe. Just remember that healthcare is one of the most profitable industries in the world, and as long as people are sick, people are making billions of dollars in profits. The bottom line is this: the healthcare industry has no incentive for curing disease. If the healthcare industry cured disease, they would all be out of business. Their focus, as unbelievable as it sounds, is to ensure more people get sick and more people need medical treatment. That guarantees them profits. Folks, remember, it's always all about the money. Hospitals, drug companies, and the entire healthcare industry should really be called the sick care industry. This money machine does not make their profits by keeping people healthy, but rather finding a sick person and then selling them their outrageously expensive drugs, surgical procedures, and other medical procedures. They make over $1.3 trillion annually doing it. Folks, I've been in the boardrooms, I've listened to these people, I've heard CEOs of major pharmaceutical companies say things like this: "I don't care about how much liver damage the drug causes, just get it approved by the FDA, pay whoever you have to pay, get the lobbyists you have to get, but just get this drug approved. Do it and our stock price goes up 4 to 5 times. We sell our stock and move on. We make millions, maybe even hundreds of millions. And 5 years from now, when they find out about the liver damage, they'll take the drug off the market, but who cares? We'll have our money, we would have sold our stock, so just do it." Folks, I've heard those conversations firsthand. That's why I am mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Is it always just about the money? Are natural remedies and cures being suppressed and hidden from us just because greedy people and corporations want to make more money? Is it true that money makes the world go round? Yes. Sadly, yes. You must understand the number one motivation in the world is making more money and power. We read it about it every day. So now, let's look at who is involved in the next chapter. Chapter 4, the big question, the title of this chapter: Who are they? Who are they? The title of the book, of course, Natural Cures They Don't Want You to Know About. So the question is, who are they? That's chapter 4. My quote, which is a fascinating quote at the beginning of the chapter, is, "The thing that bugs me is that the people think the FDA is protecting them. It isn't. What the FDA is doing and what the public thinks it's doing are as different as night and day." Who said that? Would it surprise you that it was a gentleman by the name of Herbert Ley, medical doctor, and a former FDA commissioner? A former FDA commissioner, a medical doctor, has a conscience. And when he left the FDA, said, "The thing that bugs me is what people think the FDA is protecting them. It isn't. What the FDA is doing and what the public thinks it's doing are as different as night and day." Scary, isn't it, folks? Drugs and surgery are being promoted as the only answer to the prevention and cure of illness and disease. Natural cures are being suppressed and hidden from the public. So who's involved in this great lie, this great deception, this great fraud? Who's involved in this endeavor that's adversely affecting tens of millions of people, hundreds of millions of people? Well, first, the pharmaceutical companies themselves. These include not only the companies that sell the drugs, but the companies that research and develop the drugs. It also includes all the suppliers in the healthcare industry of such things as syringes, gauze, medical tape, tubing, plastic bottles, tongue depressors, etc. There are over 10,000 individual pharmaceutical pieces of equipment that are used up and have to be resupplied on an ongoing basis. The profits are astronomical. The money this group of companies make is mind-boggling. Next, the food companies. Now you may ask, well, how do food companies get involved in healthcare? Well, there's a huge correlation between food, you know, what we eat, and healthcare. I'll explain this in detail in a later chapter, but just keep in mind, many food companies today are directly or indirectly involved in the pharmaceutical industry through corporate ownership, affiliated business transactions, or by the officers and directors personally owning stock in the pharmaceutical companies. The bottom line is, all these multinational companies are so interrelated and intertwined that you really can't have one industry that's isolated or one company that's isolated. They all are together in some form of fashion. Stock ownership, parent companies, etc. Food companies include the companies that actually manufacture and sell food directly to us, but also includes all the fast food restaurants and the suppliers of the food industry, like the actual growers of the food. Next, the trade associations. Now, the number of associations involved in healthcare is staggering beyond belief. You have no idea how many associations there are. I mean, keep in mind, these associations are not in place to eliminate disease or keep people healthy. When we look at trade associations in healthcare, people think, oh, they're there to help us. They're there to eliminate disease and prevent disease and keep people healthy. Folks, wake up and pay attention. Trade associations are not designed to eliminate disease or to promote and help curing disease or preventing disease or keeping people healthy. When you read their charters, you find that they are in place to promote the disease in an effort to get additional funding and to protect its members, which are the drug companies. These associations include I'm not going to list them all. You can read it in the book, but the Alzheimer's Association, the American Academy of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology, the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry. The list is staggering. There's American Academies for almost everything. There's associations for every disease under the sun. The American Association for Neurological Surgeons, the American Association for Immunologists, the American Association for Respiratory Care, the American Association for the Study of Liver Diseases. Well, think about it. The American Association for the Study of Liver Diseases. If liver diseases were eliminated tomorrow, would the American Association for the Study of Liver Diseases still need to be in business? The answer is no. They have zero incentive in curing liver disease. They have an incentive to increase the money they receive to study liver disease. Do you understand that? You go through this. The American Lung Association, the American Heart Association. The American Heart Association doesn't want heart disease to be cured. If it did, they'd be out of business. And the corporate officers who are in charge of the American Heart Association to get millions of dollars in money, speaking fees and huge salaries and fly first class and stay in the four-star, nicest hotels and eat in the fancy meals, all on the expense account of the American Heart Association, would lose their jobs. You have to understand this. American Psychiatric Association, American Red Cross, the American Medical Association. The list goes on and on. The American Medical Association, I'm going to talk about that later, but that one drives me out of my mind. People have this fantasy that it is designed to help cure America. It isn't. It's a union for the doctors and the drug industry. The list that's in my book is just the tip of the iceberg. The associations are outrageously and incredibly powerful. Remember, the associations are not organizations with the goal of curing and preventing disease. They're not there to protect you. These associations do not represent you. They represent their members, which are the companies, the corporations, and the people that are making the money as long as you're sick. Associations such as the American Medical Association have absolutely no interest in what benefits you. They only have an interest in what benefits its members and themselves. The people that run these associations have an interest in keeping their high-paying, cushy jobs with all their fancy expense accounts. The next group are charities and foundations. Now, these organizations sound great, but have you ever met the people that run these charities or run these foundations? The offices and directors of most charities and foundations have huge salaries and enormous expense accounts. They fly first class and sometimes on private jets. They stay in the most expensive hotels and eat in the finest restaurants, all charging it back to the charity and the foundation. They're using your donations so that they can live this lavish, outrageous lifestyle. Now, some foundations and charities have been found to spend over 40%. That's almost half of all their donations on, quote, administration costs. Think about it. If a foundation used the money it received, all the donations, to cure a disease, to focus on curing and preventing a disease, there would be no need for the foundation, and the fat cats would lose their prestigious jobs and all the perks that go along with it. Folks, it's all about the money. It's always about the money. But consider the second most powerful motivator for people is the combination of money and power and prestige. So we have money as the number one motivator, but very closely associated is power and prestige. Think about that when you ask yourself, why are natural cures being hidden from us? Consider this example. The Jerry Lewis Telethon has raised over $1 billion for muscular dystrophy. Yet more people have muscular dystrophy today than ever before. Something's wrong. Something doesn't make any sense. The next group that are involved in the suppression of natural cures and remedies, and the next group that wants you to be sick because it makes the money, is lobbyists. Now, this is the hidden, secret group of people in Washington that most of you have no idea even exists. These people, on average, make between $300,000 and $400,000 a year, plus hundreds of thousands of dollars in perks. Their job is simply to walk up to a congressman or a senator, or one of their aides, in effect, and try to persuade them to a certain line of thinking, or to get that congressman or senator to pass a certain piece of legislation, or to vote in a certain way. Now, how do they do it? Well, the lobbyists can't walk up to a congressman or a senator and say, please vote a certain way on this bill, and I'll give you $200,000 in cash. That's called a bribe, and that doesn't happen. At least we don't think it happens. At least it shouldn't happen, and theoretically it's illegal. But what the lobbyist can do, and does happen, is this. He'll walk up to a senator or a congressman and say, hey, do you have a son or daughter, Mr. Congressman? You do? Fantastic. Listen, you know, I know your son or daughter has absolutely no experience whatsoever, but our firm would like to give your son or daughter a job for $200,000 a year. And the best part is they don't even have to show up for work. Oh, by the way, Mr. Congressman, can you please vote a certain way on this particular piece of legislation which helps the client that I represent? Now, lobbyists do that, and some of you are amazed that that actually happens, but it does. Lobbyists also, I call it bribery. Let's call it what it is. Lobbyists also bribe members of Congress, although Congress has passed laws that make them legally not a bribe. I'm going to call it a bribe, but they've made their own laws. So this can happen, and it's not called a bribe. They do other things. Lobbyists can make huge donations to a congressman's favorite charity or school, or hire companies that the congressman is affiliated with in some way. Folks, that's what's happening in Washington. Lobbyists, in effect, absolutely, categorically bribe and pay off congressmen and senators. That's the way I look at it. Now, legally, they say it's okay, but they've legally made bribery okay. According to the law, it's not called a bribe or a payoff. It's technically legal. But come on, who makes the laws? The congressmen and senators themselves. Pretty interesting, huh? They make a law to make sure that what they do is legal and, quote, ethical. Can you begin to see why I'm as mad as hell? And I'm just not going to take it anymore. It's crazy what's going on. The next group of people that want you sick and is suppressing and keeping natural remedies from you so that you suffer and die needlessly are government agencies themselves, primarily the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission. Isn't it surprising that it's called the Food and Drug Administration? You know, why not two separate agencies? Why not the Food Administration and a separate agency called the Drug Administration? Why is there only one? Well, the organization, the FDA, is one of the most powerful organizations in the country. And they, in fact, use Gestapo-like tactics to put natural cures out of business. The FDA acts as judge, jury, and executioner. They raid companies, unannounced, to seize products such as bread, herbal remedies, vitamins, minerals. They raid and take away people's computers, files, research data, and equipment. They do these raids unannounced. They come in with armed guards with their guns drawn. They seize harmless products, papers, documents, books, computers. Interestingly enough, just like the Gestapo did in Nazi Germany, they do so without provocation, no customer and no consumer complaints, and without warning. There have been several outstanding books and articles written about how the FDA operates, but in the end, the FDA is the agency that approves drugs. And when a company gets a drug approved, it's like putting billions of dollars in profits in the bank. So companies will do anything and everything to get the FDA to approve their drugs. It's interesting to note that of the last 20 FDA commissioners, now listen to this, 12 of them went to work directly for the drug industry upon leaving the FDA and were paid millions and millions of dollars. Come on, folks. Let's be honest. Let's call this what it is. It's a payoff. It's a payoff, and it should be illegal. It's a conflict of interest, and it's wrong. The people that are running the FDA are paid off millions of dollars by the drug industry. How can we trust their decisions that affect us? Well, more on the FDA in a later chapter. Now, let's go through these organizations. Let me show you how it's all about the money, because it's always all about the money. Once you understand the motivation, then you can understand that what I say about how it works makes sense. But you have to understand how it works first. The pharmaceutical industry. Virtually every pharmaceutical company is a publicly traded company. And that means the officers and directors have a legal responsibility to increase shareholder value. That means that the officers and directors of virtually every pharmaceutical company have a legal responsibility to increase profits. The only way they can increase profits is to sell more of what they sell and produce these products at a lower cost. Drug companies, therefore, have one goal, and that is to sell more drugs and produce those drugs at the cheapest possible cost. Think about it. A drug company's objective is not to cure or prevent disease. A drug company's goal is to sell more drugs. You are their customer. They want you to use more drugs every single year. They don't want you to be healthy. They want you to be sick, so you need to buy more drugs and they want you to be convinced that drugs are the answer. They want to produce those drugs at the lowest possible cost, and they want to do whatever they can to make sure they can sell those drugs at the highest possible price. That's why there is such a huge debate about people buying pharmaceutical drugs from other countries. The FDA makes up this silly, crazy statement that says, well, a country like Canada doesn't produce drugs under the same safety guidelines as America. Therefore, it's not safe to buy pharmaceutical drugs there. How arrogant. How insane. The FDA is protecting the profits of the drug companies in America. The fact is that the American pharmaceutical companies want a monopoly. They do not want anyone competing with their sales. Therefore, they have managed to coax the federal government into forbidding any American to purchase a pharmaceutical drug outside of America. They are, in effect, stopping free trade and stopping competition, which would result in lower prices and benefit you. Why is the FDA doing it? As I mentioned to you before, the drug industry gives millions of dollars to the commissioners when they leave the FDA. That's why, folks, there's payoffs going on in Washington. How surprising. Remember, drug companies do not want people to get well. A drug company's goal is not to cure a disease. If everyone in the world was healthy, the drug companies would be out of business. A drug company only wants to sell you more drugs. And here's how the cycle works. The drug industry gives billions of dollars to medical schools. Why? So that their drugs can be put in the textbooks, and the newly trained doctors who are going through the medical schools will be taught and brainwashed to prescribe that company's certain pharmaceutical drugs, thus guaranteeing sales of those drugs by the pharmaceutical companies. Now remember, in medical school, doctors are taught virtually only two things: what drugs to prescribe based on certain symptoms, and how to cut out a part of a person's anatomy. That's called surgery. When a doctor comes out of medical school, most people don't know that the pharmaceutical industry then pays the doctor to prescribe certain drugs. See, did you know that a doctor gets money from the drug companies if he prescribes a certain drug? Do you realize that when you go to a doctor, how do you know the doctor is being honest and ethical? When he has a monetary incentive, he gets money from the drug company if he prescribes you certain drugs. How do you know if that prescription is really needed? Or how do you know that he just needs to make his car payment or his boat payment? How do you know? Folks, it's scary when there's so much money involved and so much greed involved. Even in hospitals, nurses get money the more drugs that they give to the patients. It's really crazy. This is called incentives. A doctor, for example, prescribes 10 patients a certain drug. He's given thousands of dollars in cash from the pharmaceutical company. Drug companies routinely give doctors all expense paid trips, first class, all around the world to medical conferences. This is baloney. They say, take you and your wife, come to Switzerland for a week for a medical conference. The conference is 2 days and enjoy a virtual week's vacation. That's paying the doctors off. And when they go there, the medical conferences aren't medical conferences. They're sales presentations put on by the drug companies, teaching the doctor and brainwashing the doctor about their company's drugs and how to prescribe them and when to prescribe them, and then giving them financial incentives if they prescribe a certain number of these drugs when they go back. They're disguised as medical conferences. They're not. The experts at these medical conferences are compensated and paid by the drug industry. They're not experts. They're paid spokespeople. Doctors are trained in medical school to prescribe drugs and are given incentives and additional training throughout their medical career directly by the drug industry to prescribe more drugs. The bottom line is medical doctors are trained by the drug companies. Hello? MDs are trained by the drug companies. Guess what they're going to do? Prescribe drugs. And they're paid by the drug company and incentivized by the drug company. Doctors are drug pushers. Think about it. Let's look at research. In order for a drug company to get a drug patented and approved by the FDA, it costs approximately $800 million in research and testing. Wow, $800 million to get one drug approved. Well, where does the $800 million go? Well, let's just follow the money trail. Remember, it's always all about the money. The companies that are approved by the FDA to do certain research, interestingly enough, in most cases, are, of course, publicly traded companies. Guess who owns the stock in these publicly traded companies? Would it surprise you to know that many politicians and members of the FDA own stock in these publicly traded companies? Well, it wouldn't surprise me. Would it also surprise you that the people who work for those research companies and are paid huge amounts of consulting fees and have huge expense accounts and get huge salaries. Our friends and relatives of many members of the FTC, FDA, and politician and Washington insiders? Well, it wouldn't surprise me. Once a drug is approved and the pharmaceutical company has the patent, it becomes the only company that can sell that drug. Getting a patented drug is an automatic $1 billion in the bank. That is why you will never see a pharmaceutical company promoting a natural cure. You see, folks, natural cures cannot be patented. You can only make profits if you have a patented drug. There are no large profits in selling a natural cure that cannot be patented. When you have a patented product, you are the only company that can sell it. You have no competition. You can sell it for an outrageously high price, and the profits are guaranteed. If you are selling a non-patented natural product, 100 other companies can sell the exact same product. You have no monopoly. Because of the competition, the prices will come down, and the profits become incredibly small. Sure, the consumer benefits, the customer benefits, you as a person benefits, but the companies don't benefit. That's why the drug industry will only promote patented drugs, because that's where the money is. That's where the profits are. So how do the drug companies get you to buy their drugs? Years ago, the drug companies had to basically make sure that you were sick and had a problem that their drug addressed. Secondly, they had to make sure that the doctors prescribed their particular drug. Now that still goes on. Those two things still go on. The pharmaceutical companies give huge cash incentives and information to the doctors about the drugs they make to ensure that the doctors, who are in fact legal drug pushers, get their drugs to you via prescription. Remember, the pharmaceutical companies have ensured that you are sick. They have to ensure that. So how do they do that? Now, this is going to blow your mind, but this is the truth, and it's coming out. One of the major reasons why there is so much sickness and disease today is because of the poisons you're putting in your body. The number one poison you put in your body consists of prescription and non-prescription drugs. That's right. The prescription and non-prescription drugs you are taking to eliminate symptoms for something are, in fact, one of the major reasons, and I believe the number one reason, you become sick and develop disease and illness. The pharmaceutical companies, I believe, know that all drugs have side effects. Matter of fact, everyone knows all drugs have side effects because every drug that comes out, there is a list of side effects. This is the dirty little secret that the pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. Just like the tobacco industry knew that smoking cigarettes were addictive and can cause cancer or lead to cancer or promote cancer, and they lied about this fact for decades, the pharmaceutical industry today knows that all drugs have negative side effects and do cause further illness in the body. The pharmaceutical industry knows that the drugs people are taking are actually causing, or at least contributing, to the increase in cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and dozens of other diseases. Why is the drug company keeping this information secret and lying about it? Mainly because it's profitable. It's just like the tobacco industry. Look at the cycle. You start taking a drug to handle a certain symptom you have. A few months later, you develop another medical condition, some more symptoms, on something else. This new medical condition, unknown to you, was actually caused by the first drug you were prescribed. You now are prescribed another drug, so you start taking another drug for this new medical condition. The drug seems to work. Your condition gets better. Few months later, you develop a new series of medical problems. Unknown to you was the fact that these new medical problems were actually caused by the last drug you were prescribed. When you're given more drugs, more prescribed drugs for this newest medical condition, your problems seem to get better, but the cycle continues. Can you see how profitable this is for the drug industry? The drug companies, I believe, are doing this on purpose. They're making drugs that address and suppress a certain set of symptoms. But they know that if you use these drugs over a period of time, they will cause a second set of medical problems and conditions to develop in your body, which is good for them because then the drug companies can produce a new drug to solve these new medical problems and suppress these new symptoms that were caused by taking their first drug. This guarantees additional drug sales and profits for the drug companies. Well, how is this happening? Well, keep in mind, virtually all drug research is funded by the pharmaceutical drug companies. In virtually every study, drugs are found to be safe and effective. That's insane, right? In virtually every study conducted, and keep in mind, all studies are paid for by the pharmaceutical companies, and in virtually every study, drugs are always found to be safe and effective. However, history has proven that this is never true. Think of all the drugs that were proven to be totally safe and effective, were approved by the FDA, then years later, these same drugs were proven to be incredibly dangerous and to cause all types of severe medical conditions, including death. These, quote, safe and effective drugs were found to kill so many people that the FDA finally had to take them off the market. Interestingly enough, they were only taken off the market, sadly, after the drug companies had made their hundreds of millions of dollars in profits. How sad. Let's look at advertising. The drug industry is doing something today that it has never done before, and that's advertising its drugs directly to you, the consumer. Now, this is absolutely unbelievable. Right now, close to two-thirds of all advertising done in America is for drugs. It's estimated that well in excess of $10 billion a year is spent on advertising drugs by the pharmaceutical industry. They're advertising drugs directly to you and me, the consumer. In many cases, these drug ads don't even tell you what the drug is for. They just have some celebrity that they pay huge amounts of money to. Of course, they never tell you that the celebrity is getting tens of millions of dollars to appear in the drug ad. Telling you how their life is so much better because they take this particular drug. The ads show all these beautiful, happy people and give you the impression that they are all taking this wonderful drug and their lives are so much better. What you don't know is that virtually every single person you see in these ads has been meticulously selected by some of the top advertising minds in the world to evoke a certain emotion in you. That's why they're in the ad. They're paid actors. All these people that are in the drug ads are paid actors. They probably, in most cases, don't use the drug they're talking about. When you see people dressed like doctors on these ads, or policemen, or judges, guess what? You're being deceived. You're being lied to. Even because they're not. They're actors. Even when known figures and famous celebrities publicly endorse a drug or foundation. Keep in mind the foundation is usually funded by the pharmaceutical companies. They do so because they say they're doing it because they or a close friend has suffered from a particular disease. They're being paid enormous sums to do so. They're actors. These ads are not truthful. Millions of dollars are being spent using technology pioneered by the CIA and the KGB to produce advertising that will motivate you and brainwash you, not only to want their drug, but get you to feel you need their drug. These ads produced by the pharmaceutical industry are the most sophisticated, well-thought-out brainwashing and manipulating campaigns ever launched on the American public. This advertising is trying to brainwash us into thinking that our life will be better in every way as long as we continue to take more and more drugs. This is absolutely outrageous. Doesn't it drive you crazy when you see all these drug ads in newspapers, magazines, and on television, and you hear them on radio? Everything is a drug, man. It's outrageous. The amount of drug advertising is at an all-time high and continues to increase. When you listen to these ads, doesn't it make you smile or laugh when they start rattling off all the side effects of the drugs? You know, it's like, take this drug,
drugs will make you feel better. And everyone's happy in the ad. And they go, side effects include throwing up, nausea, vomiting, pain, headache, losing of tongue, sexual loss of sexual desire, and perhaps even death. I mean, doesn't that crack you up when you hear all these? And they have these beautiful people on the ads. These people don't take the drug. They're paid actors and actresses. It's absolutely insane. The marketing techniques are so sophisticated that the drug ads are incredibly effective. Drug companies get us to use drugs through the use of the media. Now, this is one of the scariest things I want to talk about. The Food and Drug Administration, the Federal Trade Commission, and the pharmaceutical industry have a very unholy alliance. The regulating government body should be governing and regulating and protecting consumers from the drug companies' incestuous desire to make more profits. The problem is they work together to increase profits, increase their own power and influence. Now, a law was passed in Congress with virtually no debate at all, which increased the FDA's dependence on large drug companies for its own funding. Now, you're reading this right. You're hearing it right, too. The FDA gets funding directly from the drug industry. It's a law that was passed in 1992 that was intended to speed up approval for new AIDS medications. But what it actually did was get the drug companies to pay for the FDA's new employees and additional funding requirements. According to an article in the Washington Post, the program was developed between the pharmaceutical industry and the FDA in secret closed-door meetings. How surprising. It wasn't debated in Congress. There was no vote. It was a secret private negotiation between the drug industry and the FDA and went directly to the General Accounting Office for review. According to the Washington Post, over 500 new employees were sent to the FDA centers that actually review new proposed drugs. And these people would be paid directly by the pharmaceutical and biotech companies themselves. Imagine there are over 1,500 people today that work for the FDA who are paid by the funding of the drug industry. That's over 55% of the FDA staff directly involved in the reviewing of new drug applications is in effect on the payroll of the drug industry themselves. That's over almost $1.5 billion that the FDA is getting directly from the drug industry. Now, just to point out how crooked these people are, over the last 10 years, the FDA has approved over 9 specific drugs that have been proven to have deadly side effects. The Journal of the American Medical Association itself estimates that over 125,000 Americans die each year from side effects of FDA-approved drugs. 125,000 people die every year. According to the AMA themselves, I mean, that's the company that promotes the doctors. 125,000 people die by taking a prescription drug in the proper dose and a non-prescription drug, FDA-approved drug. So how do the FDA, FTC, and the drug industry work together promoting drugs and surgery and suppressing natural cures? Well, criminologist Elaine Fuhr did a thorough investigation of the FDA and found the FDA invests the majority of its time protecting the profits of the pharmaceutical industry. The FDA suppresses the truth. Now, this was all found in an investigation. It was found that the FDA suppresses the truth about natural cures and focuses its time and efforts on shutting down companies that sell natural remedies for common diseases. In her book, Innocent Casualties, The FDA's War Against Humanity, obviously this book is anti-FDA, she documents how the FDA specifically goes after companies that offer natural cures for diseases that make the most money for the pharmaceutical industry. Now, since cancer, AIDS, heart disease, and diabetes are so profitable for the drug companies, anyone promoting a natural cure for these illnesses will be attacked by the FDA. The drug industry, the FTC, and the FDA produce press releases. They call it news on new super wonder drugs At the same time, these agencies spread negative news on natural alternatives. The industry, the pharmaceutical industry, spends enormous amounts of money with public relations firms to get news organizations on television, radio, newspapers, and magazines to do positive stories on drugs. You'll notice when you're watching the news that many times there's a medical expert who says something about a new drug. This, quote, medical expert never says it's his opinion. There is never an alternative viewpoint presented, you'll notice. The medical expert, who's almost always an MD or a psychiatrist, always gives the pro-drug side, and it is presented as a news story. Well, the fact is, it's not news at all. The medical experts you're watching on TV news stations are in many cases spokespeople for the drug companies. These, quote, medical experts are being paid huge amounts of money to say all these wonderful things about the drugs. It's a commercial, and it looks like it's news. It looks like the news is bringing on a medical expert to give his opinion. No. The drug company sent this guy to talk about the drug, and he's paid by the drug company, folks. Isn't that crazy? Where is the full disclosure? When the news organization brings out their medical expert, they never say, by the way, our medical expert is really not a medical expert. Yes, he is a medical doctor, but he's being paid millions of dollars to come on our show and say wonderful things about the drug. He's actually a spokesperson for the pharmaceutical company. Where is the full disclosure? No, they're put on the news without any research whatsoever by the news organization. And the information itself is being presented as factual, fair, balanced, and honest. It's not. Everyone seems to forget that a new wonder drug makes billions of dollars in profits for the guys selling it. And everyone seems to forget the drug companies are publicly traded companies, and the people that own the stock in these companies have a major incentive for the drug company to sell more drugs. The real question is, who owns the stock in these drug companies? Who's going to go to the pay window when this drug gets promoted and approved and sales skyrocket? Would it surprise you that many members of the FDA, friends, family, and of the FTC and of Congress own stock in these drug companies and stand to go to the pay window? Would it surprise you that many members of Congress are involved? Would it surprise you that even officers and directors and senior executives of news organizations and the media that are supposed to be impartial presenting the news own stock in these companies and stand to go to the pay window in various ways? And the corporations that own television networks, radio networks, newspapers, and magazines all have financial ties to the pharmaceutical industry, and all have incentives, financial incentives, for the drug industry to sell more drugs. Would it surprise you? It wouldn't surprise me. There's one. That's one of the reasons why you hear so much about drugs in the news and read so many positive articles about drugs in magazines and newspapers. These organizations get financial benefit from the drugs that are sold. Additionally, most news organizations do not research the accuracy and truthfulness of information when presenting news about drugs. When they get a press release from the pharmaceutical industry, it is read and presented as news without researching, questioning it, or verifying it. The pharmaceutical industry has an automatic outlet to get billions of dollars in free advertising, which is being disguised as news. Doesn't it surprise you that on the news, the only medical experts giving information about health, illness, disease, sickness, are all medical doctors, you know, MDs, and that the only information we are hearing about on the news is drugs? Doesn't it surprise you that virtually we never hear any positive news about an herbal remedy, a natural treatment, a homeopathic remedy, or something that's not a drug or surgery? Could it be that there is no profit in those remedies? Remember, natural remedies can't be patented, and nobody can make huge amounts of money by selling them. The unholy alliance between the FDA and the FTC and the drug industry created an interesting set of laws that magically appeared. The FDA and the FTC have the ability to make a law without having it get passed through a vote in Congress. One of the laws that the FDA has passed was this outrageous and totally irresponsible dictum. The FDA has stated as law that the only thing that can cure or prevent or treat a disease is a drug. Now, let me say that again. The FDA has stated as law that the only thing that can cure or prevent or treat a disease is a drug. Now, why is this so outrageous? What the FDA has now determined is that there is absolutely no natural remedy now or ever that can be claimed to cure or prevent or treat any disease. Because if a natural remedy did, then it would have to be classified as a drug. And once it's classified as a drug, it would have to go through the $800 million worth of testing that the FDA requires to be approved as a drug so that all those people, you know, can make all their money. Well, this can't be done. Why? Because a natural remedy can't be patented. And there's no company in the world that will spend $800 million to get a natural remedy approved as a drug because it can't own the patent. And therefore, it can't recoup its investment and make any money back. Natural remedies can never be patented. Therefore, they can't go through the testing that the FDA requires. That is why the FDA and drug companies love this system. It prevents any natural remedy from being touted as a cure or prevention or treatment of a disease, when in fact, many of them are. The FDA has concluded, they colluded with the drug industry and given the drug industry a complete monopoly on the treatment, cure, and prevention of diseases. Now think about it. The FDA states that only a drug can cure or prevent or treat a disease. Absolutely nothing else. How insane is that? How arrogant is that? To make matters worse, what the pharmaceutical industry and the FDA have done now is decided to classify more and more things as diseases. You know, once upon a time, you used to get heartburn. Now it's called acid reflux disease. Once upon a time, people used to be shy. Now it's called social anxiety disorder, which is a disease. Kids who eat too much sugar and used to be a little rambunctious were told to be a little rambunctious and kids. Now those kids are classified with attention deficit disorder or attention hyperactivity disorder, a disease. When a woman had a low sexual desire, she used to have a woman that had a low sexual desire. Now it's a disease. An alcoholic is now no longer an alcoholic. He has the disease of alcoholism. An overweight person is no longer fat. He has the disease of obesity. If a guy can't have an erection, he now has erectile dysfunction, which is a disease. The point is, everything is being classified as a disease because once the FDA classifies it as a disease, now the only thing that can treat, prevent, or cure it is a drug. No remedy can, and if anybody says a natural remedy can, they will be prosecuted, criminally convicted, put in jail. That's how insane the system is. All under the guise of protecting the consumer, but the real flagrant obvious reason is to protect the profits of the pharmaceutical companies. The reason more and more things are being classified as diseases is once it's classified as a disease, legally, there can be no natural, inexpensive remedy that can cure, prevent, or treat it. The FDA says only a drug can do that. The FDA has the final word, by the way, on what is a disease. Once the FDA decides, it has the final authority and that something is a disease, any company making a claim that an all-natural product could even possibly cure, prevent, or treat it, or help it, can be legally entered by the FDA unannounced with federal agents, guns drawn, and that particular product can be seized by the FDA because that person is selling a drug without a license. The business can be shut down, everything can be confiscated and destroyed, and the people can be put in jail. The FDA can shut down businesses, put people in jail for practicing medicine without a license or selling drugs without a license, even though they're not selling drugs at all. They could be something as benign as bread. It actually happened back in the 70s. It was a gentleman by the name of Ben Schwarz who sold bread. And the bread had a high fiber content. And what he said, it was an all-natural bread that was high in fiber. And he said, by eating a high fiber diet, that could potentially lower the risk of certain cancers and heart disease. At the time, that statement was not, quote, scientifically proven. But because he made that statement, he was, according to the FDA, no longer selling bread. He was selling a drug without a license. Do you understand that? He was selling bread, folks. But once he said that if you eat my bread, which has a lot of fiber, it could potentially lower your risk of cancer and heart disease, which later, of course, was proved to be true. Because he said that, the bread was no longer bread. It was now, according to the FDA, classified as a drug. And he was selling a drug without a license. That's how insane the FDA is. But let me tell you how insane they are. The FDA came in, guns drawn. They seized the bread. They seized it. Okay, the Gestapo. This is the Gestapo, Nazi Germany. They come and the FDA comes in, guns drawn, seize the bread. Seize it. Okay? Nobody can touch the bread. The bread? No bread. It's not bread, it's a drug. No, it's bread. No, it's a drug. We're seizing it. We're the government. We're seizing it. You can't sell it. Nobody can eat the bread. It's a drug. It's mislabeled. Bad. The FDA wants to destroy the offending bread. Destroy it. There's enough bread here, by the way. It's harmless bread. They admit that it's harmless. It's good bread. It's great bread. But because it's allegedly mislabeled, because he made a alleged claim, which, by the way, he has no right to defend. Once the FDA said that the claim was made, then they are judge, jury, and executioner. He's guilty. He has no recourse. Okay? FDA says, we're going to destroy the bread because we have the power to do it. He says, well, listen, why don't we, if I can't sell the bread, you're taking it away from me. Again, this is America. But you're taking away this, you know, enough bread to feed a million people. Why don't we give it away to the homeless? Guess what the FDA says? No. Ben Schwarz goes to court. We have enough bread here to feed a million homeless people. Everyone knows it's harmless. Everyone admits that it's harmless. The FDA claims it's been mislabeled. They claim it's now a drug. It's bread. And, Your Honor, we'd like you to order that the bread be given away to the homeless. There are a million people out there that are starving and need food, and this is enough food to feed a million people. Can we give it to the homeless? The FDA says, no, Your Honor, we want to destroy it. The judge says, destroy it. How sick. How insane. Can you see why I'm mad as hell? And I'm not going to take it anymore. He was selling an all-natural product, but he was potentially tapping into the profits of one of the most powerful, profitable industries in the world. Because he mentioned that high fiber, all natural, high fiber could lower your risk of cancer and heart disease. Boy, if people lowered their risk of cancer and heart disease, that means billions of dollars in lost profits for the organizations that are involved in cancer and heart disease. That can't happen, folks. How sick, how sad, how scary. Websites. The pharmaceutical industry is doing a brilliant job producing all kinds of informational websites which appear to be consumer-oriented, unbiased websites which give information to consumers about various illnesses, diseases, and cures. But the fact is, these are not unbiased websites. It's a trick, folks. It's a scam. When you look at websites, do you ever think about who started this, who funded this, who put up the money? The websites are paid for, directly or indirectly, by the drug industry. They're made to look and appear like they're unbiased, like they're there to, you know, inform the consumer and give information about a disease and to protect the consumer. The fact of the matter is, they're nothing more than websites owned directly, indirectly, or controlled directly or indirectly by the pharmaceutical companies, and they're just designed to do two things, debunk and suppress natural remedies and promote surgeries and drugs.
It's so scary. You can't go on the web and expect to get honest information because you don't know who's controlling the website and who's holding the strings. Who's pulling the strings and who's really the motivating force behind it? You can't even find it. We've tried to find ownership of websites and where they're located. We've had private investigators go in, and it's impossible. In many cases, we actually have broke through the maze of corporations and overseas things. And guess what? It all goes back to the drug companies. How scary. Paying of celebrities. This is another way that you're motivated to buy more drugs or got to buy more drugs. Now, this shocked me when I found this out. Let's say you're watching a TV talk show or listening to a talk radio. And many times when you're listening to talk radio or watching a television talk show or a news show, a celebrity comes on and he's being interviewed. A lot of times a celebrity is promoting a new movie or something. And that celebrity may have had some kind of disease, or a family member of that celebrity may have had some kind of disease. And you start hearing the celebrity talk about that particular disease that he or his family member or friend may have suffered from. And they may talk about a new treatment that they've tried or a new drug that they've taken and how wonderful it is and how it's cured them and how it solved their problem and saved their life. You know, it sounds really good and it sounds interesting and it sounds wonderful. You know, the celebrity's just appearing. It appears that this celebrity is genuinely concerned about the health and welfare of other people because they went through it in their own personal life and they want to share their good fortune or their knowledge with other people. But upon further investigation, we find that these celebrities, now keep in mind, they're professional actors, are doing, in fact, a brilliant job of acting. Because what they don't tell you is they're being paid millions of dollars by the drug industry to tout and promote the company's drugs under the disguise of a normal interview. These real talk shows are becoming infomercials for the drug industry. But you and I watch them and don't know they are in fact commercials. I mean, you're watching Larry King and you see a celebrity on there, Dick Clark, talk about diabetes and some drug, and Dick Clark actually did disclose that he's being paid by the drug company. But the whole Larry King show was a commercial for the drug company because all Dick was doing was promoting the drug. But most celebrities never, under the banner of full disclosure, never say they're being paid huge amounts of money by the drug industry to tout the drug. Does it surprise you? Well, it shouldn't. It's common in every industry. A golf club manufacturer says in their ads, more tour professionals use our driver than any other brand. Well, the tour professionals, when interviews, say how much they love their driver. What you are not told is that these golfers are being paid millions of dollars to use the company's particular driver. How do we really know if the golfer is using this driver because it's the best driver or the one he likes? Or is he only using the driver because he's being paid? Do you know, I was watching a golf tournament, and there was a golfer who had won the tournament, and he had a head cover for a certain company brand. So you saw the head cover on the driver, and it looked like he was using that driver. But when they showed a close-up of the driver he was actually hitting the ball with, it wasn't that brand. This guy was being paid millions of dollars to promote this company's driver, and he had a head cover giving you the impression that that was the driver, but when he took the driver out, it was a different company. Company's brand. Talk about deception and lies and fraud. All about making money. Remember, it's always about the money. Another technique that the drug company uses to make sure sales of their drugs continue to increase is to get the federal government to pass laws requiring people to take drugs. Now, there are three methods employed here, and this is scary. First, let's pass a law requiring that children must take a certain drug, such as vaccines. Another way is pass a law requiring all federal employees and military take a certain drug. Note the recent drives to have government employees and members of the military vaccinated against anthrax and smallpox. Third, get the government to pay for drug usage for the poor and elderly through Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. When this happens, bam,
Bammo, billions of dollars in profits to the drug companies. Oh, boy. If I'm a drug company, all I want to do is get a lobbyist, have him get a law passed where every person has to take my vaccine. I made billions. Folks, you have no idea of how much the money is and what is really going on. Remember the anthrax scare in Washington? I believe it was a brilliant campaign to increase the sales of a certain antibiotic, Cipro. When the anthrax scare went on the air, the drug company did a brilliant marketing campaign talking about how Cipro is the drug of choice for anthrax. Overnight, the sales of Cipro skyrocketed. People were taking it just as a precautionary measure, which is insane. It did nothing in terms of preventing it. But it generated billions, probably, in sales and profits in various industries and the drug companies. Another way that the drug companies get you to buy more drugs is through the use of books. Now, drug companies pay millions of dollars to doctors, alleged experts, who are in fact being paid directly or indirectly from the drug industry and are in fact paid spokespeople for the drug companies. These experts then write books about the health benefits of certain drugs. Go to any bookstore and you'll see a book after book after book promoting drug use by an independent medical expert. It's a lie. The fact is the drug companies are paying the expert to write the book. The book is nothing more than an ad for the drug. Now, among other methods used by the government in tandem with the drug industry include this: censorship of opposing ideas. Now, this is scary. We live in America. It's supposed to be the land of free speech. Well, unfortunately, speech is not.